Have you ever wondered what the fittest version of yourself would look like? It's the promise of bodybuilding competitions. How much muscle could you build? How lean could you get? These competitions are increasing in popularity, especially among women, but they can also be a gateway to some unhealthy practices. According to a recent study, women in bodybuilding are four times as likely than average to use anabolic steroids, which help your body build muscle. One in seven are using these drugs. They are illegal, but they are also unregulated and very often mislabeled, meaning it's unclear what you're putting into your body. In a moment, you'll hear from a bodybuilder who says she's seen the worrying effects firsthand. But to start off, I'm joined by Dr. Tim Pietkowski, who's a harm reduction researcher at Griffith University with a special focus on steroid use. Tim, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What are these steroids?
So when we talk about anabolic steroids, we're talking about testosterone and the synthetic derivatives. So things like nandrolone, you might have heard tren or trenbolone thrown around a lot.
I haven't, but...
our listeners might. And so they help you to accrue muscle tissue, stay in a positive nitrogen balance and put on size and strength with slightly different effects depending on what steroid you're taking.
Do they work differently on female bodies than they do on male bodies?
Well, so I guess at a cellular level, you know, we're talking about positive nitrogen balance and tissue accretion. I guess for women, the difference is that they have a different ratio of testosterone production, and the primary, hormone production is estrogen and progesterone. And so really, there's some other changes that are more concerning for women. So not only do they have to worry about the significant risk of heart failure, stroke, liver damage, things like cholestasis, polyatosis.
I don't know what those words mean.
bad liver, explode, rupture, pain, hospital, and kidney strain. But they also have to worry about the virilization, so masculinizing side effects. So for when we talk about androgens or anabolic androgenic steroids, we can't actually separate those effects from each other. The androgenic component is what gives you the male characteristics, and the anabolic component is what does the tissue accretion. And so for women, there are this swathe of other side effects that they do need to be concerned about: facial hair growth, hair loss, voice changes, which can be permanent. They tend to, my research will show, they tend to experience acne at a slightly higher level as well. And obviously the really significant one is permanent infertility.
Okay, so not reversible changes, not the sort of things that are just going to go back to baseline if you stop taking them after your comp or whatever.
No. Some of this stuff is for life.
Where is the pressure coming from? A lot of the research that you've done is on the actual drugs themselves and what they might be doing, but a big part of it is about trends and communities that are more likely to be using steroids than others. What do you think might be behind what seems to be an uptick in women, especially in bodybuilding?
So I think we have a few drivers, hey. I think particularly for a while we've had certain body ideals propagated to us through media and now very much through social media. And those ideals used to be skinny for women and big, bulky for men. Some of the new research I've been doing has been looking at the convergence of those ideals. So both men and women want not only lean, so low body fat, but a highly muscular appearance, so a more fit ideal. And so that convergence, I guess, is one driver. Then we've got this wonderful, you know, exposure 24/7 on our phones to fitness influencers and beautiful bodies all the time. And then we have an unprecedented level of access to an unregulated market where we can go onto Amazon and I can buy a bottle of testosterone right now.
Someone who's seen what steroids can do and says she's even felt pressure to do them herself is bodybuilder Jazz Patterson. She's an IFBB bikini competitor and bodybuilding coach, and she joins me now. Hi, Jazz.
Hi, Tegan. How are you going?
I'm good. So we're hearing from Tim about what steroids can do. What's your experience been in the spheres that you're moving in?
Yeah, it's definitely been something that I've noticed an increase in awareness of, I guess, with the female bodybuilders that I work with. It's, there is a lot less taboo-ness, for lack of a better word, around it now, where people are talking about it more openly. And I guess that while there are obviously the negative impacts of social media and pressures and propagandas and things that can come with that, I think one of the positives that can be taken from the fact that more people are talking about it now and it is becoming a little bit more normalised is that there are more people giving out some information on how women can go about using performance-enhancing drugs in ways that would really hope to minimise the negative side effects or the more masculine side effects. So I think there is, you know, with everything, there's ends of the extreme and there's people who take things way too far in every area of life. But I think, yeah, steroid use and steroid use specifically among females can, yeah, definitely fall somewhere within that spectrum. So it depends. It really depends on what kind of steroid use we are talking about, but I definitely have seen more interest in females wanting to consider using things like steroids.
Tim, I think we should probably just draw a line in the sand here. What does the law say about using these drugs in Australia?
So in Australia, well, here where we are right now in Queensland, they are a Schedule 1 drug, same as heroin or methamphetamine, and you face I guess up to 25 years in prison for possessing them. In New South Wales, similar laws and penalties apply, and then in Victoria it's a little bit looser with I think 1 year being the threat.
And because they're unregulated, because they're illegal, they're unregulated, which means often what you think you're buying isn't what you're actually getting.
Correct. So we know from some other research that I've done through the steroid checking trial we ran here in Queensland, we know that out of well over 100 samples we tested, which were submitted by community, including men and women from around, that over 25% of those were a different steroid than what the person thought they were going to get, and 50% or more were actually underdosed, so less steroid than intended, about 6.9% overdosed.
Jazz, we heard from you before saying that you said there's less stigma around, there's maybe more people talking openly about using it. What do you think has created this shift in culture in bodybuilding?
Well, I definitely, like you said at the start, bodybuilding has become incredibly popular, especially among women. Like a couple of decades ago, there was nothing existing that was like the female IFB bikini look. Like there was just bodybuilding and it was mostly masculine, and females who participated in bodybuilding were looking kind of like men, like the very, very big, very jacked, very muscular look. It's definitely more of a recent thing where females have been, well, these categories have been created within bodybuilding where females are encouraged to achieve a more feminine look, like the bikini category, for example, within IFBB. It's something that I think draws a lot of attention from women. Like we obviously would like to look and feel our best, and participating in a bodybuilding comp and achieving a goal that seems, you know, somewhat realistic and doesn't seem to just put women into this category of having to look ridiculously muscular like it used to, can be very attractive. So I think in that sense, there's definitely been more of a draw towards doing bodybuilding and bodybuilding comps. And I've noticed that even in the work that I do with bodybuilding coaching, there are a lot more people who are more interested in doing bodybuilding now, not necessarily because it's going to achieve this huge muscular look, but because it can, it can give the impression that it's going to help you achieve the physique that you would really like.
Jazz, I know on your social media, you're really upfront about the fact that the way that someone looks on comp day isn't a long-term realistic body to look for. What are sort of some of the pitfalls of social media that you've seen?
In the sense of bodybuilding and being that lean?
Yeah, and just in terms of what people think is realistic and achievable.
I think one of the biggest pitfalls is, competitors like myself, I think it's very, very, very easy to want to present yourself as someone who always seems to have this perfect control and perfect physique and is able to maintain this discipline and lean body fat percentage and muscularity. Like we like to present ourselves as these very put together, very almost perfect idealistic bodybuilders, because that is what sells and that is what people are drawn to. That's what gets you followers and likes and honestly will get you business as well if you are a coach. I think one of the things that I've really learned over my years in the bodybuilding world and just social media in general is that there's nothing true about that for me personally, and I would say for a lot of other competitors like myself, there is nothing realistic about always holding yourself to the standard of I'm always lean, I'm always disciplined. I'm basically like not human. I'm this robot who operates out of this place of just being able to get everything right all the time. And something that has been a major pitfall that I've been trying to speak more into on my social media is the fact that bodybuilders and women in particular, we need it to be more normal that we are also human and that we are going to gain body fat, and that we, like you, if you aren't a bodybuilder, we too have bad days with body image, even when we are shredded. We too have days where we may not work as hard in the gym. We are just as human as everyone else. And I think that kind of taking ourselves off that pedestal is something that is really desperately needed in the bodybuilding industry in general. And honestly, like, to even loop this back to steroid use and PED use, I think if more people were very just honest and more realistic about who they are and how they're actually going, instead of presenting a version of themselves that they think the world wants to see, I think we would see less people feeling inclined to go the PED route. Everyone would kind of hopefully start to see that we can look awesome and be great and also be human at the same time without needing to go into those extremes.
Tim, it sounds like the picture's so much more complicated than just people using steroids. It's really wrapped up in body image, as we're hearing Jazz say there. Is education about steroids alone really the way to address this problem?
Two things. And I'm going to take a step back first. I think we've spoken a lot about negative things. Also want to very much acknowledge women who are doing strength sports. Incredibly amazing, powerful, doing awesome stuff. 300 kilo squats, 600, 700 kilo totals, like super amazing things, looking fantastic. And we can't ignore the positive benefits either. And the idea of, I guess, there's a level of balance and autonomy and people having ability to make well-informed decisions
while participating in strength-based sports. Yeah.
And if PED and steroid use is part of that, then it is part of it for the people that want to participate, right? And there are other people who don't participate in that. And I think, we have to give people their full humanity and decision-making in that. I think on the education...
That's not very don't do drugs of you to say that.
It isn't very don't do drugs of me. And this is my lead-in and segue for coming back to your original point. I think there are some fantastic influencers, coaches and other people out there that are doing... open, transparent, honest discussions about here is my workout plan, here is my diet, here are my supplements, and here's the drugs I take. And not encourage it, just to give you the full picture of what's happening. And with that full picture, people are able to make a more realistic decision about what it takes to look a particular way. Because if you don't talk about the steroids, if you don't talk about the other things that are happening, then very, very confusing if you don't know what the extra ingredient is.
So I'm thinking about someone who's listening who has a young person in their life or someone they care a lot about, and they're seeing them on a path, perhaps, concerned about maybe them taking, seeing someone who looks awesome, knowing that drugs are part of that, illegal drugs. How do we come together with an openness and transparency and also not be promoting it?
So I think this idea of open, honest communication, this idea of safer use models for people that have already engaged or made the decision to engage with these drugs is very important. So we have a service here, Steroid Connect, as part of Queensland Injectors Voice for Advocacy in Action. We have a steroid peer educator, ex-bodybuilder, who provides phone line, online and also in-person harm reduction advice and safer use administration, things like that, does training for workforce, all kinds of things to, I guess, find that middle space. For those who are considering use or perhaps, already doing the behaviours that we know correlate with the next step towards risky substance use, I suppose it does still fit in, this idea of safer use. So putting the use off until you've fully developed, using at a clinical or slightly supraclinical dose, using a regulated product. There are things that we can do that actually minimise harm, because a lot of the harms that we see come from very, very high doses, unregulated products, structural harms like stigma, those types of things. We can actually cut a lot of that out, encourage health monitoring, taking blood pressure, doing echocardiograms, blood tests, things like that, and I guess create a space where there's good health and social outcomes, while also, I guess, adding that prevention element for our younger generations who probably shouldn't be doing steroids at 15, let's be honest. But I guess if they move into bodybuilding and want to compete one day, perhaps at age 30, when they're fully developed, both in terms of body, brain, organ systems, that might be a decision that they want to make, and let's help them make that decision well.
So you talked about a harm reduction program called Steroid Connect. That's not everywhere in Australia at the moment.
No, just in Queensland. There was a previous service that operated in Victoria, Steroid Peer Education Program, that was recently defunded, unfortunately. We currently operate the only one here in Queensland. And just shameless plug, I guess, this is a part of a research program that I lead, but also we need these programs everywhere, not just Queensland. We need steroid peer educators in every state and territory, because we know that there is a very high prevalence of accessibility out there, and that people are being drawn to these substances. So we need to keep them safer.
So if people want to educate themselves, if they're worried about someone or they're worried about themselves, what's a good place with high quality information that they can go to?
Fantastic. So buttressing Steroid Connect, we have a online site called High Ground. It's an initiative run by Quiver, the organisation that I'm on the board of. And in partnership, we develop harm reduction and safer use materials. So things like safer injecting guides, things like some of the recent evidence podcasts that we do with social media influencers and high-level coaches, athletes, and other bits and pieces like that. There's a whole repository of resources and information, as well as some of the research that I do and other colleagues have done.
Tim, thanks so much for sharing your insights today.
Thanks.
And thanks also, Jazz Patterson.
Thank you so much.
Jazz Patterson, an IFBB bodybuilder. You've seen the effects of steroid use in your fellow competitors. You also heard from Dr. Tim Pietkowski, who's a harm reduction researcher at Griffith University.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.